I have had more people say to me about this time during the summer that they feel like they're in survival mode. And they're just grasping or whatever they can grasp to get through the summer. I especially hear that from parents that have several kids that are home and are just like, I've had enough of this. What do I do? And I've also heard people say this to me fairly commonly. In the summer is the time I'm going to lose it. In the summer, it's the time that I have lost it. I have no vigor for Jesus Christ. I used to be so in love with Him, but now, I used to love to get in the Scripture, but now, And you know, things just aren't as good as they used to be. And it happens in the summer. And so that's why this morning, we saw our friend trying to do the wilderness thing there, with his wife's phone ringing very auspiciously during the skit, okay? But the point of the matter is that we see him struggling for that survival. And it's a picture of where many people who, by the way, this morning got up and dressed, put their makeup on, fixed their hair, did the whole thing, came here, looks real good, smells real good, but inside, this is what's going on. Is a character like this, just grasping for how do I get back to a vital relationship with Jesus? I so want to be back in love with Him. You know what I'm talking about? Without putting your hand in the air and saying, hold it, watch, don't you do it. That's me. I don't know what happened. So that's what we're going to try to address this morning. After I take a very special pause here to just welcome a couple of really cool people that are here. Owen, it's good to see your wife here. Thanks for coming back. You know, you had a choice. No, I'm just kidding. And that's great to see you. A longtime friend of ours is here from Dayton, Ohio, who was horrified by the news this morning back in that town. And Jan Day is here, who's known us for a very long time. How long have you known us, Jan? You figured that out?
1993.
Okay, 1993 to now, so about 4 or 5 years. And she knew me, by the way, when I used to preach with a full afro. She knew me back then. And those days have gone. And a very special welcome to Pastor Paul from St. Vincent and the folks that are here and the special friends. And last year we did some leadership training with them, didn't we, Debbie? It was fantastic. Okay, good. And now a whole new group of folks are in, and looking forward to spending time with you after church today, and we will have some fun. You'll see the quiet side of Mike a little bit later. So we're looking forward to that. So the quiet side. It's about time. Alrighty, so we're going to dive into some really neat scripture this morning. Believe it or not, this scripture gives us 4 good takeaways, 4 good things to note to get back on track. If this is you, make note of this. In fact, you might take these 4 points and put them in the front of your Bible somewhere just so you see them. And here's the other part I wanted to bring up. It seems like the more I go through this life, the more I walk through an airport, the more I walk through a shopping center, the more I walk through the grocery store, the more I walk on the wilderness trail, the more I look out my window, there's a park in front of my house, the more I see people sitting on a park bench out there who are there taking in nature and the beauty with the birds and the squirrels and the alligators and all that stuff, and the more they sit there, or the more I look, the more I realize they've got earbuds in. Because God forbid I go more than a minute without entertainment in my ear instead of hearing the nature sounds, the more I notice people all the time, and they're on their phone, and I look sometimes and I'll walk by, what are they doing? And they're looking at videos, like they're watching a movie. I did a lot of driving a week and a half ago. I'm driving on the highway, and every so often I come up on somebody who's kind of wavering in front of me, and I'm thinking, drinking? No. It's either texting or, and I get up next to them and see what it is, and it's the or. They're looking at a video on their phone as they're driving their car. And I'm like, can't we just go a couple of minutes? Well, the truth of the matter is, we're so loud, so noisy, so many things distracting us, that this morning I've got built in 4 different components. 4 times where you get a chance, without something in here and something in here, to listen to God in light of the Scripture. So I would invite you to take this very, very seriously. Before we dive in, let's pray and let's give this time to the Lord. It's not Mike we want to hear, it's the Holy Spirit we want to hear. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for Jesus this morning and the relationship that we have with Him that's opened up all of eternity with you. We look forward to that. Father, we want to be there, but for the time you've left us here, we realize you've done that for a purpose. So, Father, this morning, as we gather together with fellow followers, fellow believers in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be and is, we thank you for that, amongst us to do the teaching, and instructing of your word. And that is what we look forward to this morning. Where need be, Father? Correct us. Bump us back into place. We'll give you this time, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So be taking some notes on these points. Want you to get it. You heard the scripture reading this morning. Let me read the scripture for verse number one. Listen to the writer of Hebrews say this. It's on the board. It's on your Bible, and I'll read it. Therefore, brothers, from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, get the illusion of the Old Testament and the temple and the synagogue. Understand this as we're reading it, verse 20. By the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, His flesh, Jesus. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, those of you who hang out with me and hang out with me throughout the year know I really enjoy a study that we do, which is HD study, which will be starting up here again in the fall. And when we do this HD high definition study, it literally is to go through a piece of scripture and take it apart. And I will tell you what I just read there. We could spend 3 and 4 weeks going through the background and everything of this scripture to understand it. And I can't do that right now. But I just want you to understand is just before this scripture, the author of Hebrews was making a really big deal about the fact that Jesus was the total payment for our sins. We sit here today in America and we go like this. Woo! What else you got for me? Because that's not all that exciting. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. Jesus is the total payment for our sins. In light of the fact of all the sins I've done, listen to me, this gets kind of risky. The ones I've done, the ones I'm doing right now, hold it. Yeah. The ones I'm doing right now and the ones I'm going to do in the future are all paid by Jesus Christ. The payment is full and it's complete. That's a big deal what Jesus did. And in light of that, look at what this scripture says. It says to draw closer to God. In the Greek, the exact is this, draw near. And the Hebrew people, this was just new time for them. You know, for them it was a bunch of rules and regulations, dietary, and how much you can walk and what you could do. And it was all associated with the synagogue and the process. And you couldn't just say, I'm going to draw near to God this week. It didn't work that way. Well, maybe you think the priest down at the synagogue could, but you didn't ever feel that you could get close to God. It wasn't designed that way. But now, and you want to see how this is so exciting for these people? But now, because of Jesus, you can have that clean relationship with Him, which puts you in great relationship with the God of the universe. You can have intimacy with God. All right, everybody's got that. Here's the part that blows me away more than what I just said. Everybody listening? Okay, I can't explain what I'm about to say. What I'm about to say to you is a blow-away concept, and it's this. The God of the universe, the creator of everything, the God of the universe desires that intimate relationship with me. Okay, no, you're missing the point. I know me. I look in the mirror at me. There ain't much here of me that anybody would want. It's me. Not real bright Mike, not real good looking Mike, no longer 6 foot tall Mike, no longer Afro style Mike, no longer, you getting the idea? Everything I used to be good at is all gone, there's nothing left. And nobody wants relationship with me, honestly. I bring nothing to the table, and no offense to you, neither do you. I look at most of you and, sheesh, are you kidding me? Because we all sin. We all do wrong. We all are blemished. And I'm talking on the very inside. And yet the God of the universe wants intimacy with me. Not you. I'm not talking about you. Okay, me. That's so cool. And then listen, you can have prayer time with Him and thank Him for the fact that He wants relationship with you. Now, that doesn't mean I just want to have a relationship. Means I want to have a relationship with you, so I'm going to come up and I'm going to say, "Hi, how you doing? Love being with you. Want to be your friend?" No, 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 no. In his case, it cost him his son Jesus. So it wasn't enough that he said he wanted this relationship with me. Then he put the process in place so that it could happen. Because he could have said it all he wanted to and it never would have happened. But he then made the process take place. And that process was Jesus goes to earth, sinless, perfect Son of God, takes on my sin, dies an incredible death on the cross, which I'll never understand, endures all this stuff on the earth. You getting the idea? He put the process in place and he just very simply said, I want intimacy with you, and all you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ and trust on Him. And you got it. Blow away concept. And you know what the problem is? I'm not picking on anybody here, but let me start. The problem is most of you, like me, have been in church more than 3 weeks. And when I first came to Jesus, I was so excited about that. I'm not kidding. I was bubbly exciting over the fact that God wanted a relationship with me and Jesus could make it happen. And I was pumped. And you know what the sad part about that is? That was then. And now I'm like, yeah, so what? What do you got for me? Okay, here we go. We seek God. Nothing gets in our way. We have total access with Him. So as this says here, I come boldly. I come confidently. So here's what I'd like to do is stop right here cold. I would like you to listen to God. Got it? Our first point was get closer to God. I even said after that, you move. You get closer to God. So would you bow your head with me? This is meant to be a time and a couple of times during this sermon where you actually listen to what God might be saying to you. So listen carefully as you listen to God. Think with me. What do you have to do now? And what do you really need to do today to draw closer to God? You know yourself better than anybody else. What do you need to do? What would the Holy Spirit show you right now that you need to do to draw closer to God? And you know what? Just maybe the Holy Spirit's telling you right now, you got to stop doing this. You got to stop thinking this. Or maybe the Holy Spirit's telling you right now, you need to add this. You need to put this component in your life. It used to be there, but it's not there anymore. You need to put this in. And this opportunity was written to fellow believers in Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago to take seriously, to draw closer, to get closer to God. What do you have to do right now as the Holy Spirit speaks to you so that you move and get closer? Pray silently for another minute. Amen. Let's get on to point number two here. And point number two is this from verse 23. We need to get focused, and that focus is on God. Let me read the scripture to you. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. You got your note sheet in front of you? It's this. To get focused on God. Literally, this scripture here says hold firmly. It means to hold fast. You know how it means to hold on to? Give me this thing right here. Now, you try your best to get this out of my hand, and you can't. Neither can you, you, or you. You can't get out. You know why? Do you know why? Thank you very much. See, there's one friend who gets it, okay? Holding fast. Holding tightly, and you're strong, and you work out. And so I go like this, and I wrap another hand around it. And I said, now try to get it, and you can't get it. But then you're stronger than me, and you start to get it. So I take my left foot, and I wrap that around here, and I hold on as tight as can be. And you get the idea. That's what the word means, to hold fast. It means to hold so tight that you can't possibly get it out of my hand. If you're making notes, Hebrews 6:19 up here, this author has already said that this holding firmly to hope is the anchor of my soul, the thing that holds it all together, this hope. Hope anticipates and knows that God is going to fulfill His promises. It's a done deal. We all know that. And I think a great picture of this kind of hope, you know what it is? I heard stories from my family when my family was growing up, because I always accused them of aging and getting older and the kids moved away and all that, but I did not. But I would get stories from them. We had a dog, a 100-pound Dalmatian. And he was just a lover. He was just a teddy bear. He was a stuffed animal. If you come to my house, he's still in my living room as a stuffed animal. You'll have to deal with that later when you come to my house. But the deal is this dog was faithful to me. because I had won him over when he was younger. I did stuff for him that we never told anybody else. But he got secret little treats from Mike. And Mike slowly won him over. And he'd wink at me and I'd wink at him. And I'd go like this and he'd go like this. You get the idea. Okay. So here's what happened. All right. I would leave because a lot of what I did was in the evening. And I would go out the door and leave. And this dog, being very faithful, you know what he did? He'd go and he'd lay right by the door. And if you could interview Dion, he would say this. My master, the greatest human being on the entire planet. No, that's what he would have said if you talked to the dog, okay? And he'd say, my master has left and he went out that door, but you know what? I'm not a stupid dog. I know he's coming back through that door. And so he would lay right at the doorway until I came back. But here's the part I didn't know that the family would tell me. As Dion was laying by the door, sure enough, I'd come home. It didn't matter if it was 8 o'clock or 12 o'clock at night. He'd still be laying by the door. And then he would go like this. Huh? You know a character does that. That gets even more funny. Okay. Huh? Hold it. I think I hear my master's car. It's got a certain ping. Yes, that's my master's car. And then he heard the door open to the garage. Like that. And he'd go, I know that's our garage door. And my master is coming in the house. I am up and I am listening. And oh! I hear the car door, and oh, he's going to come in through that. Oh, hold it! He's coming in! Stop it! He's coming in through that door! This is exciting! They go crazy like I've been gone for years. Isn't it wonderful when a dog greets you that way, or a kid, or a wife, or... Okay, I'm just throwing other stuff out. You get the idea. All right. So here you go. Dog's jumping up and down. I come in the house. The dog is, what, you ever see a dog like a snake? Different parts going like that. And lo and behold, he can't control his back end with the tail. It's just a lot of work. And so he comes up and he just gives me hugs and he says to me, you're the greatest master in the world. You're the greatest master in the world. And I say, yes, I know. Yes, I know. Every time I come in the house, if I'd mow the lawn, he would greet me coming back in the house. It was fantastic. You wives could learn a lesson from that. Okay. No, I'm just kidding, okay? Consider it once, all right? Just, I mean, especially that tail thing, all right? Okay, I'll hear about that later, okay? I got two ladies staying in my house right now. Elders will have a meeting too, okay, I'm sure. But the truth of the matter is, if you were to interview my dog for serious, he would say that my hope in my master coming back was sure because this always happens. I know it's going to happen. I'm not anticipating him coming home. I know he's coming home. It's a sureness that I have. And I've got this very much focused on the Lord, on my master. And I realize his word when he said to his wife on the way out, my mommy, that he'll be back at 8. He's coming back and I'm excited about it. And we as followers of Christ are something like that. We've heard the word of the Lord in regards to our life, in regards to his return, and in regards to everything he's written about. I believe, and listen, a key word, the integrity of my God, that when he speaks with integrity. And the people I know with integrity speak and they say stuff and then they do what they said and what they spoke of. That's integrity. And I have full confidence that what he said is true and indeed is going to happen. In the biggest quadrant of my life, listen carefully, I'm not with Jesus yet. Have you figured that out yet? You know that? You say you belong with Jesus, you belong to him, and you're going to be with him forever, but you're not there yet. I have the full confidence that when I came to faith in Christ, it began my eternal life. And I will transition from this life only to eternal life with him, with barely a blip or a speed bump that I go over. That's the confidence that I have. And I live much like the dog laying by the door. I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. And I am sure of it. And because of that, my focus is on that God. My focus is on Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Again, let the Holy Spirit talk to you. I'll tell you what, believing and taking the Lord's word, believing it for my personal situation, that's big stuff. So listen with your head bowed right now and listening to God. If you were to get totally focused on Jesus Christ this summer, if you were to do that, what would have to change in your life right now? What would take a boldness from you to say, I'm not going to do that or think that anymore? Or you know what? I'm going to start doing this and I'm going to start doing that as the Holy Spirit's talking to you right now. How are you going to make that happen? Because the Scripture is very clear that I draw near. I hold fast. I hold on to. How are you going to do that this summer? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you right now for the next minute. Amen. Let me read verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 10 for our third point. And let us consider, you know what consider means? Put the gears in action. Consider means to mull it over, think it over, think it over, think it over. Make a list if you have to, but keep working on it. Let us consider how to stir up one another. I know how to do that. I know how to stir you up. You come in the door and I say, you're the ugliest thing I've seen all day. That'll stir up a fight at the house, won't it? You don't want to go home and say that kind of stuff. You are the dumbest thing I've ever seen. You want to say that? No, I don't think you want to say that. But look at this scripture, verse 24. And let us consider how to stir up one another. Oh, here it is. To love and good works. And there's a reason for this. And I came up with a third point here, meaning get involved. Look at the word stir up. The word stir up means to spur. It's usually a radical negative term. You need to know that. And it indicates an irritation or an exasperation. It means to incense, to strongly stimulate. It's almost always used in a negative way, but here it's used in a very active way of you go and stir up other people to love and good works. That word consider, I like this, okay? Look at this. If I were doing a play with Dennis, watch what I'm doing here. I could do it with my hands. I could communicate with my hands. If I was the evil villain and I was off to the side and had that black raincoat and that ugly face that I've got and I was going like this, and he'd say, hey, what do you think Mike's doing? You'd say, well, Mike's conniving. Mike's configuring something. Mike's coming up with a plot. Mike's doing something to strike back at somebody. Get the idea? Fact of the matter is, that's this word consider. This word consider is to think and to rethink and hold it, listen, and then to plot a course. Now, here's how it works on the practical side. I want to throw my wife a surprise birthday party. Surprise! And some of you get invited to it. And I've been... What was that? Okay, I've been plotting and planning this for months. I got the invite list. I got it all structured. This is fantastic. And we're getting this big party together for our 40th birthday, and that will get me points when I get home. Okay. It is a ledger sheet, you know that. Okay, and I need to work up my side. So here we are, and I'm plotting for this party, and I've had, look, on my list, detail, 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 detail. And you know what? All that is this word, plotting, all for an eventual good party for her, to honor her. That's the word plot. It goes past planning. And you know what? If you think about it, it says we consider and we plot how to show Christ in two different ways. By causing love and good works. Did you catch that? I am looking for how I can spur, how I can stimulate, how I can make this happen in other people. Love and good works. And when you think about it, follow me through with this equation, okay? When you think about it a little bit further, those are the two ways that we show Jesus. Listen, no. You know how they get the idea out there? Because they see in me, without even the spoken word, they see my love and they see my good works, which are always geared toward other people. They see my heart and they see my actions. And that's what demonstrates Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying here, Paul, the writer of Hebrews, that what I'm trying to do is I'm stirring up in other people their quotient of love and their quotient of good works. We need that for each other. That's witnessing to each other. And we also need it for those folks out there who don't know Christ to see the same thing. So, can you imagine a place where people get that on a weekly basis? Can you imagine a place where you come in and people were really involved with you to that degree? You know what that's called? The TV show Cheers. That's why we liked watching it. That's why those people in that fictitious place liked going there. because family got created to the point, because of their relationship with others, their lives were better. On the TV sitcom, it's supposed to happen in real life in here. Bow with me right now. Let's let the Holy Spirit talk to us. Can we do that? Why don't we listen to God right now? Think with me. One question. What do you need to do to be that involved with somebody else, to take that type of action with your fellow believer, to cause a deeper sense of love and a deeper sense of good works within them? What do you need to do with your fellow believers here at Candlewood and fellow believers at St. Vincent? Where do you need to be involved with their life to spur them on and stir them up? And even right now, here's what I'd like you to do with your eyes closed and thinking about this with me. Hey, who's God put in your life that you need to enhance your relationship with to do just this? Pray for the next minute. I pray the Holy Spirit will actually give you a person's name and face that maybe even now in this quietness you can make a commitment to do just this. Listen to God. Amen. Our fourth point is get together from verse 25. Listen to it with me. Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some. This was written over 2,000 years ago, okay? This could be written to our people today. Two different sets of cultural situations and circumstances, same truth. Do not neglect meeting together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day. That day is always talking about Christ coming back, the day of judgment, drawing near. Your last point this morning is to get together. You know this. And you know what I'm talking about right here? I'm not talking about coming to church. Listen to me carefully. Culturally, right here, these folks were coming to Christ. They were Jewish believers who come to Christ. And they weren't going back to church. You mean to tell me that they weren't going down to the big church down the corner that had the steeple and the cross at the top? They weren't going to that place? No, they weren't. Because that place didn't exist. Who was the church back then? The people. And you know what I'm going to say to you? And you can think about this and not agree with me. I see two major faux pas and errors in the history of the church. I'm not going to go into it right now. But if you're in HD, we talk about this kind of stuff. The first one, big one that I think is this. When the church got designated and the church got identified as a building, when it became an official religion and they started building buildings, which, oh, by the way, stop. Nobody else builds a building like that. You don't go by a church and go, well, there's a Walmart. You don't go by a church and go, there's a new shopping mall. No, you don't do that. Because churches look like this and like that at the top, okay? And that's a church, and you get them on the front of your daily bread. These covers, these ones that sit in the meadow, and they're so pretty. And you go, isn't that a gorgeous church? And I say, no, it's just a gorgeous building. No offense. That an architect just went and built because it looks like a church. But the truth of the matter is, the church is us. Okay, burn the building down. It doesn't matter. We're out there. We are still the church. You folks at St. Vincent's, I presume Pastor Paul still runs services. Does he? No? Did he stop doing that? Last year's training went right to his head. I know he'd stop it. Okay, good. You got church down there, right? You got a building? Yeah, probably better than this, right? You got a building. I've seen pictures. You know what? That building's not the church. You are the church. And you know what? We live right now in such a structure that we don't dare say that this is the church. We know it's more about us. And the church is within us. These folks, because of persecution and cultural background and etc., were coming to Christ, but they weren't getting back together with the fellow believers, which is what the strength is. Our strength is in the group of us together. I wrote something down a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to read it to you so I get it right. You might want to write this down because I've been thinking about it since 4 o'clock this morning. Here it is. Now you're going to think it's being monumental, but it's really not. Okay, you know this. It's just these words, okay? We stand by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You get that? It sounds so simple, but watch where it goes. We stand by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now listen, there's a catch. And also, by the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of those around me. Ooh. Right. No, I'm serious. This is big. This is big. I'm not saying I'm genius, but I'm just putting something into words that we all feel. We stand by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and also by the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of those around you. My spiritual walk depends upon your spiritual walk. In America, we mess this up with this individualism and stuff, but it's just not right. The reality is I stand better when you stand better. And when you hurt and you fall, it takes me down a little bit. I don't lose my salvation or any of that, but it makes me less effective. And it definitely has an effect on me. So I stand by the power of the Holy Spirit in me, and I also stand by the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Because together, the mutual support is what it's about, and that's what this verse is saying. Please be getting together. It gives you a boldness to share our common faith and to support each other. And I live in a time right now, and I'm going to say what I'm thinking because that's what I'm here for. Listen carefully. I am so tired of hearing from people, even just recently, who told me the reason they're going to a church. Oh, hold it. Remember? Okay, that thing? The reason they're going to church and the church they're going to is that they like the people better at the one they were going to, but they wanted to go to this one because the band was so fantastic. And the band was like anything you'd hear at a nightclub. And they liked the sound of that. And they also liked the fact that the building was kind of new, and they loved going into a newer church building. And I was talking to that person and said, well, you know what, dude? I can't help you a bit. I got nothing to say to you. Then you know what? People are going where they can worship, where they can get the most bang out of the buck. Can I get the pastor that's the most articulate? And is he funny? And is he good looking? Okay, good, thank you. Debbie and I are now in our second year of relationship. It's wonderful, okay? I need her here every other week, all right? So here we go. Is the pastor the one I want to look at? Is he pleasing to look at? Is he easy on the eyes? Does he have a calm voice? Does he have a voice that doesn't sound like Mickey Mouse on steroids? What do we got going here? Okay, I go to hear that guy because he's soothing. The band is better than any nightclub band I've ever heard. I go there, and the truth of the matter is I am most entertained. Right there, they do the best skits, and the best videos, and the best lighting, and the... Really? You kidding me? Are you that attached to this versus this? How about you were called to a church where the pastor stinks, and the band just is horrible and can't play sticks? Okay? How about you go to a place like that because of the commitment of the community of people who are seeking to live with the Holy Spirit? Wouldn't that be dynamic? Why don't you bow your heads with me right now for the last listen to God? Think with me. What keeps you from getting together with fellow believers in order to encourage them in their walk with Christ? And I'm not talking about a church. We come here for worship of God together, which is vital, and to hear the Word of God, which is vital. And then we leave this building in just a couple of minutes to do exactly that. To meet with each other, to encourage them in their walk with Christ, and to represent Christ. What keeps you from finding ways to stir up the things of Christ in the believers around you? And why aren't you looking to do that and praying for the Holy Spirit's wisdom to get together like that? I'm going to give you about a minute. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you. Amen.